stick, and I'll put the water on there. And there we go. Sorry about the buzz. Well, it's great to be here. It is. It's our second visit. I think it was many years ago. I don't know, maybe about 5 years, something like that, a few years ago anyway. I didn't realise how long it was since we first met Eric and Jackie. That's amazing. I only had one chin then. I remember that. I remember it well. But they were great, great times. I worked for the Manchester City Mission for probably about 4 or 5 years, and that's how we first met them. We've kind of kept in touch over the years, haven't we? But it's great to be here. Can I just say, we've got some newsletters. I'm just about working on a new one. So this is 2017, so it's slightly out of date. But Aaron's got a few copies of them, so if you'd like a copy, then ask her, and you can just read a little bit about what we're up to. But I think that video will probably give a good explanation, really, of what we do. That van, we go out twice a week with the van, and we give out hot drinks while you're here, didn't you, and all sorts of things on there. But through the week, we also try and encourage people, meet up with people. We do a lot of one-to-one visits, and I might take a guy out, Aaron takes a girl out, and it's just building up relationships. And, you know, the easiest thing to do is just to share the love of God, isn't it? And that's what we're doing, just being ourselves and sharing Jesus and his love with people. And it's amazing how that makes a difference. But then we also like to share the gospel with them as well, the good news of Jesus. Today, I'm going to... It's okay, guys. Sounds like it's dead loud, but it's all right for you out there, is it? Good. Irene would tell me if it was too loud. She usually said, down a bit. I'm going to look at Psalm 107. And my Bible is the ESV, English Standard Version. And so Psalm 107 is one of my favourite psalms. I've got two psalms. I don't know if you should have favourites, but it's Psalm 139 and this psalm, Psalm 107. I absolutely love it, and there's so much in it. So I'm not going to read it all. It's quite a long psalm, but I am going to go through it. So I'll just probably read up to verse 16. So Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached the city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the word of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labour. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. So I'm going to look through the whole of the psalm, but we'll just finish with it there. I'm sure you all know last Sunday was Mother's Day. And it's a great day, isn't it, where we dedicate it to our mothers. And really, it's a day where we give thanks to our mothers for all that they've done throughout our lives. And it's a lovely day. And Aaron and myself took my mum out for an afternoon tea in a place called Statham Lodge, which is a really posh place. And she absolutely loved it. And it's just us honouring her and just saying thank you for all that she's done in our lives. But, you know, I sometimes think, and my mum rightly so deserves that, and I'm sure all our mothers do. But if I'm so thankful to my mum for all that she's done in my, you won't believe it, but 58 years. Nobody batted an eyelid then, did they? But if I give that time to my mum, how much more should I be thankful to Almighty God for all that he's done in my life? And he has done some amazing things in my life. He's transformed my life, and he continues to do that. So how much more should I be thankful to him? And this psalm, Psalm 107, it's a call to the redeemed to give thanks and praise to Almighty God. It's a call to remember his mighty deeds that he's performed. And it's a call to remember his grace and his mercy in their times of need. So it's a call to remember all his goodness. So it's a cry to those who've been redeemed, who've been forgiven, who've been set free, to come together and give thanks and to remember his goodness and mercy and all that he's done for us. And you know, that's a big part of Sunday church, isn't it? That's a big part of the reason why we come together as believers, to come together to worship, glorify and give thanks to God for all that he's done. And that's why, if I'm honest, that's why it really, really winds me up when sometimes you hear people going out saying, I hope nobody says this today, but I didn't get much from the speaker today, or the worship was a bit lousy, wasn't it? As if it's about us being entertained, where really it's about us saying thank you to God and giving glory to him for all that he's done. So this psalm was probably written after Israel's been delivered from their bondage in Assyria and Babylon, the return of exile. It says in verse 3, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. So throughout the psalm, it certainly describes the condition of the nation of Israel. Probably it also reflects a time in the wilderness after the deliverance from Egypt. And they're being reminded constantly throughout the psalm of what the Lord allowed them to suffer, a lot of the time because of their sinfulness, but then of how the Lord delivered them when they called on him in faith. They're being reminded of the consequences of their sin, and they're being reminded of the grace that God showed them in forgiving their sins and restoring them. They're being called to come together and to praise the Lord for his mercy and for his grace within their lives. And they're being reminded that God is forever faithful to hear and restore those who call on his name. So, you know, I want to just focus, as I look through this psalm, on kind of four pictures of God's redemption throughout the passage. So the first picture of God's redemption I've called homeless, hungry and lost. So in verse 4 to 5, you'll see that each little picture starts, first of all, we see their problem. So verse 4 to 5 says, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted within them. So we're seeing here, aren't we? We're seeing a people who are lost, who are wandering round aimlessly with no place to call a home. It says they're hungry and they're thirsty. They have no safe place to stay. And maybe this was the Jews as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. These people are in a desperate, desperate condition. But you know, I think this paints a good picture as well of many of the guys that we work in the city centre of Manchester on the streets, homeless and destitute, faceless in many, many ways, no direction and no place of safety. You know, it's a dangerous place to be homeless on the streets, anywhere, in any city. But, you know, I think as well, it paints a perfect picture of those who are without Christ, wandering through life with no real purpose or direction, a real sense of being lost, forever hungry, it says, never satisfied without the bread of life that comes only through knowing Jesus, forever thirsty, longing for that living water that alone quenches that deep, deep thirst that we all have within. You know, I remember how empty my life felt without Jesus. I lived 30 years of my life without Jesus. I had a knowledge of him, but I didn't know him. And I didn't realise that it was because Jesus wasn't in my life at the time. But I had a life with no purpose, with no direction. I just flitted really from one job to the next. My marriage was crumbling. I was trapped in an addictive lifestyle. And I knew I had a problem, and it brought me to my knees before Almighty God. So secondly, we see their cry for help or their petition in verse 6. It says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. So once they recognised their problem, all they needed to do was to cry out to God. It's by grace alone that we're saved. You know, there's nothing they could bring. They just needed to recognise their problem, come empty-handed to Almighty God in their desperate need. Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you know, the biggest problem that we all face is our sinfulness, our disobedience to God, and it's that gulf between God and ourselves. And God's promise is that when we cry out to him, he will redeem us, he will set us free, and he will bring us home to a safe place. And thirdly, we then see God's provision, verse 6b to 7. And he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. So time and again, we read how God led the Jewish people out of captivity and how he led them into the promised land. We read how they were hungry and he fed them, how they were thirsty and he gave them water, They were homeless, and he led them to a safe place. He led them to a promised land, we're told, flowing with milk and honey. And you know, when we cry out to God in our desperate need, he will always be faithful and provide what is needed. Not what is greeted. I don't think that's a word in the dictionary, is it? But you know what I mean. But it's what is needed in our lives. So for those who cry out to God, for those who repent, who turn away from their own way and turn back to God, he promises a place of safety. He promises he will lead us on a straight path to a new eternal home. And there's a wonderful picture of this in Revelation from chapter 21, verse 3. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." That is our direction. That is our hope, isn't it? That's what we're living towards. And then in verse 8, we see their praise and their thanks. So verse 8 says, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." So the whole reason for this psalm is a call to give thanks and praise to Almighty God. You know, it would probably have been sang at thank offerings as they remembered all the great things that God has done. It's a call to be thankful to God for the redemption. But you know, we who are born again, who have been redeemed and set free from the judgment and wrath of God through the sacrifice of Jesus, have so much to be thankful for, haven't we? It's so easy to neglect giving thanks to God. It's so easy to take this redeemed life for granted. You hear people saying all the time, don't you? "I'm so thankful for my life. I'm so thankful for my job, for my family," or whatever. But who are they thankful to? Who are we thankful to? Well, James, I think, answers that in James 1 from verse 16. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." See, all that we have, all that we enjoy in this life is from God himself, and whether we know him or not. But if you're a believer this morning, then your life should be one of praise and thanks to Almighty God. So the second picture of God's redemption I've called Prisoners in Darkness. And again, it starts where we see their problem from verse 10 to 12. So it says, "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the word of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High." You know, maybe this reflects their time in captivity under the Babylonians, surrounded by idolatry, imprisoned by a brutal regime, being forced to basically do or die. But verse 11 tells us as well that the reason for their captivity is due to the fact that they rebelled against the word of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. You know, to go through life rejecting God and ignoring his counsel only leads to bondage and captivity, to darkness and ultimately to death. And we're seeing the effects around the world, aren't we, of a world that is rejecting God. We see the price of that. You know, we meet people daily on the streets of Manchester who are sat in darkness in the shadow of death. You know, for some, death is literally around the corner. People who are prisoners of all sorts of addictive lifestyles. We park in the red light area, and it's a dark, dark side of Manchester. It really is. And we see girls living in total bondage. And every time they get into a car, they risk the chance that they may never return. And you know, over the years, sadly, sometimes that has happened as well. And this is a stark picture of life without Jesus, for the unbeliever still belongs to Satan and is still a prisoner to sin and all that sin causes in a life. But then again, in this passage, we see their cry for help, their petition in verse 13. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble." See, it's so easy to see people make mistakes, isn't it? And to say that well-known saying, and I've said this myself many times, "Oh, well, they made the bed, let them lie in it." It's very easy to say that, isn't it, to be judgmental. But aren't we so thankful that God doesn't say that to us? Because if he did, we'd all still be in our mess, wouldn't we? But he doesn't say that. See, they recognise their problems here, and they cried out to God for his mercy and deliverance. And then it's just a simple pattern, verse 14, we see God's provision. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. So again, God answers their cry for help. You know, God longs to hear the cry of his children so that he can pour out his love, his grace, and his compassion. Verse 16 says, "For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron." You know, when a sinner repents and turns back to God, God delivers them from their former life. And I'm sure most of us in here have got testimonies of how we were before we knew Jesus to how we are now and how God has changed and transformed our lives. We're told he sets the captive free. He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. And you know, I love the account in Mark's gospel of the demon-possessed man. It's in Mark chapter 5 from verse 2. And it says, "When Jesus has stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound and shackled and chained. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was crying out and cutting himself with stones." So this is a picture of a man that's in total darkness, a man in chains and bars of iron. And then he meets Jesus, and he's set free. Jesus brought him out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst his bonds apart. One minute this man is a naked madman who self-harms. The next we read further on that he's sitting there fully clothed and in his right mind. And I love that when I see that. He's fully clothed in his right mind. You see, and I really truly believe that somebody really needs to hear this, but nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. No chain is too strong for him to break. No addiction is too gripping for him to shatter. And when we cry out to him, he will deliver us. And that is a promise from Almighty God. And then again, we see their praise and their thanks in verse 15. "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." So again, it's a call to give thanks and praise. You know, when you know the freedom that comes from God alone, it's near impossible not to live the rest of your life thanking and praising him. You know, every time I get my guitar out in Manchester, I make it clear that I'm not entertaining the crowd. It's amazing that, because as soon as I said that, I saw Colin look at me, because he always tells me to put my guitar away, you see. But I do, I say, look, I'm not here entertaining, but I'm there worshipping Almighty God. I'm giving him all the honour and all the glory that he alone deserves. You know, if you're a believer today, then your life should be one of praise and thanks to Almighty God. The third picture of God's redemption I've called sick and dying. Again, we start where we see the problem from verse 17 and 18. "Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death." So again, we see a similar pattern, but this time they are afflicted because of their iniquities. We're not told of what these afflictions are, but can guess that maybe there's some form of sickness, some form of illness. It says they're off the food and they're close to death. Well, you know, sick and dying people go off the food, don't they? My dad sadly has dementia, and you know, he's losing his appetite. He used to love his food, but now we almost have to force food down him because of the dementia. But you know, Israel is like a sick person with a fatal disease, and they've turned away from God and they've rebelled against his word. And sin is a sickness, and if not treated, it leads to death. We're told in Romans 6:23, it warns us, "For the wages of sin is death." But then, praise God, it goes on to say, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then secondly, again, in this passage we see their cry for help, their call for help in verse 19. "Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble." So again, they have nothing to bring. They have nothing to give. All they can do is cry out to God. It's all about him and about his grace. Unmerited favor. Nothing earned, nothing worked for. They just need to cry out in their distress, and he delivers them from it. And then again, we see God's provision, verse 20. "He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." You know, right at the beginning of John's gospel, we're told that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And we know that Jesus is the Word in flesh. And he came into the world to conquer sin and death and to heal the sick and to bind up the brokenhearted. And this is also, I believe, a wonderful picture of Jesus, the coming Messiah. Verse 20 said, he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And again, verse 21, 22, we see their praise and thanks. Let us thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. So again, it's a call to give thanks to the Lord for all his wondrous works. But now they're also called to offer sacrifices and thanksgiving to sing songs of joy. You know, we don't offer sacrifices anymore, do we? Or we shouldn't do, because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. But we are called to be living sacrifices. And that's a big thing, isn't it? We're called to be living sacrifices. It tells us in Romans 1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You know, if you're a believer today, then your life should be one of constant praise and thanks to God. And finally, the fourth picture of God's redemption I've called storm beaten and sinking. And from verse 23, again, we see their problem. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. So this is a picture of men at sea doing business and doing good by all accounts. And then they face this horrific storm through their evil deeds. And they're filled with fear. And it says they staggered like drunken men and at their wits' end. You know, to be at your wits' end means that you've used all your own resources. They have nothing with which to save themselves. They're at the total mercy of Almighty God. You know, every sinner lives in a kind of storm-tossed sea of hopelessness and terror. And sin causes them to sink to the depths of depravity many, many times. Temptation is the sorrow are the waves. The devil is the stormy wind that knocks them off balance. And Jesus is the only place of safety, the only safe harbour. But you know, all the skills of the sailor won't get them there. Only those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So again, in that passage, verse 28, we see their cry for help. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble. So again, they're crying out to God because of their situation. And then verse 29, from 29, we see God's provision. It says, he made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet and he brought them to the desired haven. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Remember Jesus asleep in the boat and the disciples were afraid and the storm was there and Jesus wakes and he just basically calms the storm and it's peaceful. You know, it's a wonderful picture again, isn't it? Because only Almighty God can control the sea and nature. And it's a wonderful reminder of the deity of Jesus. The only way a sinner can be brought into a safe haven is when they realize that there is nothing they can do. There is nothing they can bring. They can only fall on their knees before Jesus and cry out in their desperate need. And the good news is that every time God will hear and will respond with grace and compassion. You know, no sinner who truly repents is ever turned away. And I remember the day, it was 1991, January 1991, when I remember falling on my knees in our front room and crying out to God. And that's when I realized the mess that my life was in. And I cried out to God, like these people in this psalm. And God heard my cry and he delivered me and he took me out of the place that I was in. And my life began to change from that day forward. So we see here again their praise and thanks, verse 31 and 32. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. So finally, we finish again with praise and thanks to Almighty God for his wondrous works, for his redemption. Because Jesus paid for our sins, because he took our place and died our rightful death, and paid for our sins with his life, God can forgive us and bring us deliverance. You know, for those who have received this forgiveness, this psalm is a call to give thanks and praise for his amazing gift of grace and salvation. But you know, for those who have not yet received that forgiveness, for those who are still living in darkness, we have a wonderful promise from the prophet Isaiah. It says in Isaiah 55 from verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that they may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." What a fantastic promise that is. Yeah. So as I conclude, you know, if you're a believer today, then your life should be one of praise and thanks to Almighty God. I hope you're getting that, because that's what we're here for, isn't it? But you know, he has redeemed you from being homeless and destitute in your sin. He's redeemed you from the darkness of ultimate death and untreated sin. He's redeemed you from the sickness of a sinful life. And he's redeemed you from the sinking, out of control storm of life without God. So finally, I just want to look quickly at the last three verses of this psalm. So first of all, verse 41 to 42. "But he raised up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth." I love that line, "all wickedness shuts his mouth." You know, all wickedness and all the evil in the world seems to be shouting the loudest, don't they, at the moment? That's how it appears, isn't it? But we need to stand firm in our faith, and we need to cling to the word of God, because one day all wickedness will shut its mouth. You know, the question we need to ask is, will our mouths be shut? Or will we be the ones who are shouting praise and thanks to Almighty God for his wondrous deeds? And then to finish, verse 43 says, "Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let him consider the steadfast love of the Lord." And I wonder this morning, as I finish, are you thankful to God for your salvation? Are you thankful that he's redeemed you from a life of sin? Or have you yet to consider the steadfast love of the Lord? Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. You know, the wisest and most important decision you will ever, ever make in your life is to fall on your knees before Jesus Christ and accept what he's given us. You know, if you know in your heart that you have not done that, then maybe today is the day. Maybe today is the day. And, you know, I will just say to you, speak to somebody who you know, speak to somebody who you trust, and tell them that you don't think you're living in the freedom that Christ paid for. And you know, today could be the day that you can do that. But for what we must remember is that we're here to praise and honour Almighty God. Thank you.